of Ezekiel. If you don't know where that is, that's okay. Just open up and pretend like you do. We're going to go ahead and pray, jump into the Word. I mean, we're going to be in Ezekiel 14th chapter. We're going to get into this bad boy today. So let's go ahead and pray over the Word today. So Father God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that it's truth. We thank you, Father God, that we're not in here to read a book. God, we're here to learn about you. God, we're not in here just to read an old story, but God, here we're here to find out what we need to do and how we need to live today. So God, I thank you that we're not here, Father God, to just look over some old traditions, but God, we're here to have our heart changed, to beat like your heart beats, to see like your eyes see, to speak like your Son spoke. God, that we're here, Father God, to make a difference and a change in our world because it desperately needs it today. So Father, we thank you for these things. God, we pray that tonight, Lord God, that you would speak to us as only you can. Holy Spirit, that our ears will be open to hear your voice. God, that our heart will be soft to be molded by the hands of the one who created us. And Father God, tonight we pray, Lord God, that we would be attentive to hear the things, God, that maybe I'm not even saying, God, but Father, to hear the things that you want to say to us. So Lord God, we give you this time and we give you our attention in this place, God. We put you first and foremost. Father God, tonight as we pray these things, we also pray for each and every person who's in church tonight, Father God, here and even around the Inland Empire and even the world, Lord God. Father, I mean, whether they're at Emmanuel Baptist, Father, whether they're going to be at Trinity, Father, whether they're at Wildwood, Father, San Bernardino Community, God, Lord, if it's at Ecclesia, wherever it is, God, if they're talking about you, we recognize that we're all on the same team, talking about the same Jesus. So God, we pray that you bless them just as you bless us in this place. God, as we do this, as we pray this, as we jump into your word today, Father God, we're all in agreement. And we say, amen. No, we all say, amen. That's right. All right. Today we're gonna get into the word today in the book of Ezekiel. If you were here on a Sunday or two ago, you know, it's like I've just been kind of living and reading through the book of Ezekiel. That's some crazy stuff. I don't know if you read the Bible very often. I don't know if you read the book of Ezekiel, but that's some crazy stuff. But I'm getting a kick out of it, and I love it. And there's been something that's been in my heart lately, and it's kind of cool because the things that God's been speaking to me in my life, in my personal time with him, are the same things that have been kind of what I've been reading in the book of Ezekiel. And there's just been some verses in there that have just really kind of stuck out to me, and I think it's for us today. I want to talk about a word. I want to talk about a place. I want to talk about what's inside your heart. I want to talk about this word called the throne. That's right, the throne. I want to talk about a throne in your life, the throne of your world. And now you think, Pastor Richard, what are you really talking about? Well, let me go ahead and read this to you. In Ezekiel 14, verse 1 through 6, the Bible says this. It says, "Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me." Now the me is this man named Ezekiel. And see, he's talking about the things that are going on right now. In the nation he lived in, things were getting kind of scary. They were beginning to get surrounded by this country called Babylon. And things were getting a little bit ugly because it didn't look very big. They were a very small nation surrounded by a very big place and very scary people. Matter of fact, the most powerful nation of the world. And it was getting kind of ugly, getting kind of scary. And he says this, "The elders of Israel, the elders of his nation came and sat before me. And then the word of the Lord came to me." God began to speak to Ezekiel. And he said this. He said, "Son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart. They've put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity, into wrong living, into sin." The idols, that's what the idols were doing to them. And put before them with that which causes them to stumble in iniquity. "Should I let myself be inquired of them at all by them?" See, God was saying that, look, if they're putting up idols in front of me, should I even answer them? Should I even talk back to them when they come talk to me? Yeah, they came to the prophet. They came to this pastor to talk about God. He says, "Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them?" He says, "Therefore, speak to them, talk to them," and says, "Thus says the Lord of God." God says, "Everyone in the house of Israel who sets up idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble to iniquity, and then comes to a prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel." He says that I want to take hold of them by their heart because they are all estranged. They're far off and they're strangers from me by their idols. What the heck is God talking about here? I mean, what's going on? Here these people are, here this nation is, and they're coming to talk to this man named Ezekiel who knows God. And God's talking to Ezekiel. He says, "Hey, look, this is what's going on, man. These people are coming to talk to me, but why do they want to talk to me? Because they don't want to listen to me. They want to have idols. They want to talk to other gods instead of me, their God. You know, all of a sudden he says, look, if they want to come talk to me, then the only thing I want to talk to them about is the way they're living their life, is to get things straight, to handle their business. You see, God's talking about the situation that's happening in their hearts. And it's kind of funny. You know, I was thinking, and it kind of reminded me. Have you guys seen the Robin Hood cartoon? You know, the Disney's Robin Hood with the fox, and then you know with the chicken, the chicken singing his song. You know, the bunny rabbits and all that kind of cute. The fire. Anyway, some of you guys are looking at me kind of weird. I know it's an old cartoon, but you know, Robin Hood. It's kind of the same thing in all the movies. But you know, King Richard, you know, the lion guy, he went off to go fight the wars and the crusades and stuff like that. And what happened is the prince John, the skinny little lion guy, you know, kind of a punk, you know. He ended up rising up to the throne, so he was in charge of the kingdom, and things started getting really ugly in Sherwood Forest and the whole countryside, because that one weird, I don't know, is he a dog? The sheriff? I don't know what kind of animal he is. He's a wolf. Is that what he is? The fat wolf. Okay, cool. Okay. So anyway, and then that snake, that slithery snake, I swear that voice is in all of those old. And then Baloo, seriously, he's like in 15 different cartoons. But anyway, so King Richard III or whatever, he leaves, and Prince John comes up, and he starts punking everybody, and taxes go up, and all the little rabbit kids can't afford any soup. And then that one friar guy gets all his money taken because the taxes are jacked up. I mean, it's just a whole jacked up situation. And then you got Robin Hood coming, trying to make things right. Robin Hood's coming, hoodladdie, 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 trying to, you know, pretend like he's blind and stuff like that. And he's robbing from the rich and giving to the poor, and robbing from the rich and giving to the poor. And he's trying to keep things afloat, but it's just not working because Prince John's a punk, right? So all of a sudden the whole thing happens, and then he tries to get Maid Marian's heart or something like that. And they're shooting arrows, and the snake's flying around in a balloon. And it's just, you know, they're chasing each other, and the chicken's playing his song and all this kind of stuff. And are you guys following me here? Then all of a sudden, you know, he like wins, and Prince John gets his head bashed in, and he got a lump or two on his head, and the whole thing happens. And all of a sudden at the end, you know, nothing really changes until the very end, when the king comes back, right? He rolls in, got his big old fatty mane, and then he puts Prince John in his place because he's a buster anyway, right? Well, it's kind of funny because that's kind of the same picture that God's painting here. I don't know if you caught it. You guys catch it? Did I just confuse it more? Here's what's happening. Is God says, I want to talk to the people, but there's a problem because they put an idol in front of me. He says, I'm their God, but they put somebody else in front of me to be their God. So when they come to talk to me, I can't help them out because they put something in between us. He says, but when they come to talk to me, tell them this. Tell them, put me first and everything can be good again. Pastor Richard, I just don't get it. This is what it means. Robin Hood tried the best he could to make things right, but he couldn't. No matter how much he robbed, no matter how much he stole. Why? Because Prince John was sitting in the throne. He was king at time. And as long as Prince John, that punk of a little lion, was sitting on the throne, the kingdom would never be right. No matter how much Robin Hood tried, the people would still be poor. See, the problem wasn't solved until King Richard came back. And he took his rightful place at the throne. You catch that? See, when we put an idol in our life, it's like putting Prince John in charge of our life. And you're going to be poor, and I'm going to be broken down. And no matter how hard we try, no matter how many good things we try to do, like Robin Hood tried to do, we'll always be broke and poor until King Richard, the rightful king, comes sitting in our heart. You know, let me do this. To help illustrate this, I have a throne. If you guys can't load it up, haul it in, bring my throne in here real quick. You see this. Let me explain it this way. Is God's talking to people about their idols, and God wants you to make sure you have the right king sitting on your throne. Because in your heart, in your life, everybody has a throne. If you were to look inside of your life, everybody in your life, all of you guys in here, I know.
Come forth, my throne.
So everybody has a throne in their heart because that's the way God designed us. There is something in your life that rules and reigns supreme. There's something in your life that sits on the throne. Flip it around. Don't look. You're ruining my surprise here, guys. Don't look. All right, cool. See, all of a sudden, you guys saw that one, huh? Yeah. That's right. My busted down throne here. That's right. We got it from Walmart. No, probably not. Can we scooch it back a little bit? Scooch it back. I don't want to be like all up in your grill here. I don't want to scare you. So we have our golden idol here. That's right. So the idea is this: is a throne. I mean, whether you're talking Prince John, whether you're talking the kings of Leon, whether you're talking Britain, whatever it is, you know. A throne represents something. Matter of fact, a throne is where the king sits, right? A throne is where the king sits. It's where he decrees. What? I was born in West Philadelphia. Born and raised. Most of my days. Anyway, I know. I am not the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Though one can wish. Darn that Will Smith. Anyway. One good-looking devil. Anyway, the throne is where the king sits. It's where the king makes his decisions. The king will decree, "Hear thee to fall, so this kingdom shall declare." You know, all of a sudden, this is where the king's power is. Now, if you'll notice, most thrones are not love seats. That would be a whole different message together. But most thrones. Matter of fact, I would say all thrones. I have yet to see a throne that sits more than one person. You know, a throne has room for one person on it, one king. That's just the way it goes. You know, so if we're talking about thrones here in your life, this is kind of where it goes. You know, the throne of your heart. There's a place in your heart in your life where somebody, something sits, and that's where the decisions of your life are made. That determines the direction your life goes based on who's sitting in the throne of your heart. Because we all have it. I mean, the thing that determines what you do and don't do, that's based on whose butt is in that chair. You see, God was talking to the people, and he says, "Look, guys, there's idols. There's idols that these people have put up." Now, obviously, chances are most people. Now, I'm not saying all, because people still practice idolatry, like little statues, and they feed them and stuff like that. That still happens today. That happens in America. It happens in the world. It happens all around the place. But most of us in this place probably don't have a small shrine in your house. Okay. That's the way they used to do things back in the day. Every house would have a little statue, and they'd wake up and they would feed it and they'd give it water, and it was like a chia pet, I guess. Except it didn't grow hair. And when they were done, they'd throw the food out. That's what they would do. That's the way they lived their life. But today in your life, we probably have idols that are different. You see, an idol is not just something. An idol is something you trust in, something you serve, or something you give worship to. That's not God. Something you trust, serve, or worship other than God. That's what an idol would be. I would even say that an idol is an imposter. It's an imposter who sits on the throne. You see, the thing about Prince John was never, it's funny, they never called him King John. It's always PJ in Robin Hood, right? Hey, PJ, this is Baloo or whatever his name. That's what he would call him. It never called him king, even though he wore a crown. He was an imposter. He was a fill-in. He never cut it when it came to king. But when King Richard came in, he was recognized as the king. See, that's what an idol is. It's an imposter that sits on the throne of your heart. So the question is look at yourself today. Now, it can be something physical. It can be a person, or it can be something that's immaterial. It can be something that's not really real. For those of you who didn't see, you know, it would be. Let's say it would be something like this: comfort. Comfort is an idol. It's an idol that wants to sit in that. Obviously, this comfort is not as good looking as I, so it must be a imposter. But comfort—it's an idol. It's not, but you can't touch it, feel it necessarily. But it's something that we worship all the time. mean, some of us don't go to church if we don't like the people around us. Oh, he's a punk. And so it makes us uncomfortable. Somebody heard that. So it makes us uncomfortable. So, you know, God, I would much rather stay home and do this. I would much rather sleep in than pray. I would much rather watch this television show and then get up and do. God, I don't want to ask them to church because what if it's embarrassing to me? Well, see, all of a sudden, comfort can come in and sit in the throne and determine the way you live your life because you don't want to be uncomfortable living your life for God. You would hate for something to be discomfortable or embarrassing. And now, I'm sorry. This message. Don't worry, I'm preaching myself too here. But. That's what the God of comfort looks like. And when we give into it, we worship it. See, worship has nothing to do with a song, everything to do with serving. See, if you live your life for Jesus, you're worshiping Jesus. Nothing to do with a song, but it's how you live your life. If you live your life to do whatever it takes to be comfortable, then you have found your God. I guess another one would be this, we kind of touched on it a little bit, would be television. Okay. Television, or I would even say anything with a screen. Whether that's your laptop, that's your cellular phone, your iPad, Android, tablet, whether you use it to text, to IM. I mean, sometimes, look, and I know because this is one of the things whenever I talk about fasting, I always make sure to mention the cell phone, you know, or television, or the internet, and because these are things that we cannot live without. If you can't live without it, then maybe it owns you. Because if you can live without it, then you must be in charge of it. But if you can't live without it, then it must be in charge of you. Maybe it's because it's sitting on the throne of your heart. And every time you push send, and every time you hit that search button, and every time you click that little button at the bottom to open up the application, you worship it. Oh, send. Do-do-do-do. I mean, now, I don't know if that's exaggerated or not, but it's true. I mean, whether it be, it's the tall one here, and I'm not very tall, whether it be your boyfriend or girlfriend, bam! I don't know where the tape went, but it's there somewhere. There it is. Sorry, I jacked it up a little bit. She's a little wrinkly here. Okay, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Look. Let me. Oh, I want to get to that, but I'm gonna wait. Now, whether it's comfort, TV, One Direction, Neil. Whether your own, I know. Maybe your worship is you. Maybe that's your idol is. Maybe there's certain things in the Bible you don't agree with. And you think you know? Maybe you think that must not be for me. So your opinion is better than God's. That must mean you're worshiping yourself. Your opinion. Maybe you like to worship late at night. Maybe you like to worship late at night. I know Black Ops 2 just came out, so maybe this is your form of worship. Killing terrorists. Capping a fool, taking headshots. I'm sorry, Mark. Calling you out, bro. Look. Maybe this is your form of servitude. Look, if it's what you leave early to go to, if it's what you think about, what gets your mouth watering. Look, all these different things can be idols, physical, spiritual. You know, look. Maybe even your. What your idol is a past hurt or a pain, a memory that dictates the way you live your life. Maybe somebody did something to you, betrayed you, hurt you, violated you, and that determines the decisions you make. That hurt and that pain may be sitting on the throne of your heart. I mean, it's not just all stuff that makes you feel good. Sometimes we become imprisoned by things that we don't even like. Maybe you found yourself in an abusive relationship. Maybe you know somebody who's in an abusive relationship. Maybe their God is security, and they feel like if they didn't let go of this abusive relationship, then nobody would ever love them. So they hang on to this God of security. I don't know. I don't mean the things people worship are without end. Literally, we can cover this thing in notes and names. We can cover this thing filled with paper, you know, several layers thick of the things people, and even the things that I'm tempted to worship, because we're all there. People need to worship something. And for thousands of years, ever since time began, however long ago that was, people have been tempted to worship something other than God. So we need to find out what it is. You see, what it says here is, he says, Son of Man, these men have set up idols in their hearts. It's not just a little statue, it's in your heart. Because why? And why is that so dangerous? Because that's what God's been after ever since the beginning. God wants your heart. This doesn't want your attendance. This doesn't want your lip service. God doesn't just want you to look nice and act nice. No, he's always wanted your heart. And the problem is idolatry. The throne room of your life is in your heart. So who is sitting? Who is in charge? Who rules your life? I mean, I don't know. I do know this. Your future is determined by who you crown king. The future of your life is determined by who you crown king in your life. Look, as long as Prince John was king, the people were poor. But when the rightful king came back, things became better. No matter how hard they tried, the only way to change their future was to change their king. You see, it says the idols produced a stumbling block. Whenever you put something in here, on here, it produces a stumbling block, something for you to trip, something to hold you back, something to keep you from where God wants to take you. He says, Ezekiel, you need to tell these people what's going on, because they'll never get to where I want them to go as long as they serve idols. You know, Jesus said something really simple too. In the book of John, if you guys have your Bibles, you know, keep your finger, keep a ribbon, keep a piece of paper, keep your toe in Ezekiel. But in John the 8th chapter, Jesus is talking about this same thing. In John 8:33, Jesus says this. He says, you know, he's talking to the people about the truth and about being free. And the people hear him and they're confused. They say this. They say, Jesus, look, this doesn't make any sense. We're Abraham's descendants. We have never been in bondage. We have never been idolatry. He says, we've never had a stumbling block. He said, Jesus, we don't have a problem. I don't have any issues that I need to deal with, Jesus. So I don't know what you're talking about. We need to be free. Jesus, aren't I free right now? Jesus turns around and says, No. You're not hearing me. Jesus answered verse 34. He says, most assuredly, I say this to you. Whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. A slave doesn't abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. Earlier, he said, you can't serve two gods. Just one. There's only room enough for one. He said this. If you have an idol in your life, then you will be a slave. If you have Jesus in your life, then you'll be a son or a daughter, you know, depending. Idolatry leads to slavery. See, this is the thing. This is why when we say, you know, don't smoke, don't do drugs, don't disobey your parents, don't. It's not because we want you guys to be really nice, good people who do everything right. No. Because if you do these things, then that means that God is not on the throne. He says, if you sin, then you're a slave to sin. You see, when we sin, sin is just worship for another God. See, when we hook up with guys, or when you hook up with girls, and you do stuff that you know you shouldn't be doing, that's worship. I know it sounds kind of weird to think of it, but you're worshiping sex. Pornography, that's worshiping sex. Look, when you gossip, you might be worshiping revenge. Maybe you're worshiping, you know, your need to be in charge. I don't know, but sin is worship. It's worshiping something else that's sitting in the throne of your heart. Now, I understand we're never going to be perfect here, because there's always going to be a power struggle to sit on the throne of your heart. But see, that's why when we talk about sin, it's not just to keep you guys from having fun, to keep me from doing things that make us feel good. We have to get rid of sin in our life. Because if you put sin, if we sin, and if we have sin in our life, then that means that you're going to be a slave to it. It's all you think about. It's a thing that you're fiending for it, man. Look, it's funny. I mean, people who are addicted to drugs, when they worship their addiction, I don't know if you know or have any family members on drugs, but when they're spaced out, that's like not even your family member anymore. It's like they're a slave to it. They got to get their next drink, or they got to get their next hit. They got to get their next bag. You know, it's like they become a slave to that addiction. And then they get high and they worship it, and then it lets them down, because they're a slave to it. But when you worship God, when Jesus sits on the throne of your heart, there's freedom. See, Jesus said, "Look," he said, "look, guys, you're not perfect." He says, "You guys have issues." He says, "If you know me, then I'll make you a son." See, a son has an inheritance. He gets what the father leaves him when he goes. A slave, they don't get nothing. They get left holding the bag. They got all the responsibility. They got to do it. They do all the work, and they get none of the pay. That's what a slave does. And that's what sin does. Sin promises you the world, makes you feel good for a moment, but then it leaves you with the bill, and you can't afford that. I said, that's a jacked up deal. You see, we need to go idol hunting in your life. You need to go on the hunt in your life for idols. I mean, the same thing I need to do. You need to look at your life and say, all right, God, who's on the throne? Who's fighting for the throne of my heart? Who's fighting for the throne of my life? You know, the people thought they were okay, but Jesus said, no, you're not okay. You think you're okay, but you're not. And that's a jacked up thing. We're so used to living in a messed up way, we think that's the way it's supposed to be. But God says, no. You were born under Prince John, so this is all you know is poverty. But if you put King Richard, not me, the lion, if you put him on the throne, then things will get better. Jesus said this. He said this. You need to find the truth. He said the truth will make you free. So you need to look at your life and say, what's the truth? Look, who do you run to for comfort? That's how you can find your idol. When you have a really bad day, what do you want to do? When your day sucks, when the bomb gets dropped on you, what do you want to do? Because 9 times out of 10, what you go to for comfort will determine who your God is. That's why people do drugs, to forget about stuff, right? It's their comfort. That's why people cut themselves when they have a bad day. That's why people starve themselves or throw up when they have a bad day. That's why people smoke weed, man. Because you're having a bad day. I just want to forget about this. I don't want to deal with this right now. That's why people beat people up. That's why people punch holes in walls. That's why maybe you hide a razor in your bun, so when you're ready to cut a fool, you're ready to cut a fool. Okay? Well, tell me you didn't grow up in the hood like I did, all right? I mean, I never held anything in my bun, but you know what I'm saying. What you run to for comfort is one of the quickest ways to find what you idolize. Because when you run to that for comfort, you're trusting in it. In Psalm 20, verse 7, they said, some people trust in chariots, but I'm going to trust in God. When we cut ourselves, we're trusting in that cutting, that pain, to remind us who we are. You're going to that for your identity. When you have a bad day and you just want to just get on the phone with your girlfriend and you want to talk to her and just blah, blah, blah and gossip, you're going to that for comfort to make you feel better. The answer to my problems is what? Getting on the phone? The answer to my problem is what? You know, throwing back a 40? My answer to my problems is what? Punching my mom? I'll tell you, number one, no, it's not. And number two, if that's what you're looking to solve your problem to make you feel better, I'm going to tell you, my friends, you have just ding, 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 discovered your idol. because that's what you're trusting to rule and reign your life. And I'm going to tell you this, you're a slave to it. Because soon, if that's what you run to for your comfort, soon enough, you're not going to wait for yourself to have a bad day. Because every day that you don't worship it will be a bad day. And it's not just do, don't in Christianity. No, no, no. It's never been about do or don't. It's always been about serve. Serve, 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 serve. Because I'm going to tell you this. If you don't serve Jesus, you will serve something. So you can choose. Do I want to be a son and daughter of the Most High Living God? Or do I want to serve as a slave to relationships that don't work? Do I want to serve pictures on a computer screen that never leave me feeling good? Do I want to serve how much I do or don't weigh? Because you'll be a slave to it. Or you can be a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Jesus said if you come to him, he'll make you free. Because a slave gets nothing, but a son gets everything. An idol will make you a slave, and Jesus will make you a son. Then when you find that idol, you have to smash it. Really simple. You have to hunt for an idol. You have to smash it. Back in the day when they found idols, the physical ones, they would burn them down. They would cut them down. They would throw rocks at them. They would break them. They would put them in a big pile, and they'd set them on fire. They would get rid of them. They would destroy them. So as soon as you find it, you need to get your razors and throw them out. As soon as you find it, find your stash under your mattress and flush it. Look. If you need to get rid of it, if you need to fast it, if you need to downgrade back to some old funky 1998 cell phone, do what you got to do. But you got to destroy the idol. Because I'm gonna tell you this: if you put the idol somewhere where it can crawl back up on the throne, it's gonna do it. It's gonna fight tooth and nail to sit on the throne of your heart. You got to smash it. What did God say in Ezekiel? Ezekiel 14, he said, look, the idol is going to cause a stumbling block. He said the idol is going to come and try to get you. He said it's going to cause you to do iniquity. Because whatever the idol is, it's going to want to be worshipped. Whether that worship is lit up, logged in, whether that worship is kissed or made out with, whether that worship is sung to, or injected into your body. That king is going to want to be worshipped. And the crazy thing is, you were designed to worship. We were all designed to worship somehow. And if you don't worship God, you're going to worship something, right? Am I right? Am I right? I mean, look, I am so gullible for this. It's like I get a habit, and I just want to dive in. I want to spend money on it. I want to watch YouTube videos about it. I want to buy it. Look, I mean, whether it's my bike, whether it's my airsoft gun, whether it's my computer, I just want to buy it. I want to look. I mean, when I feel bad, I want to go out and I want to shop. I know I'm a dude, but I want to shop man stuff, you know? And it's like that's what I want to worship, and I have to fight every day of my life to make sure Jesus is sitting on the throne in my life. Otherwise, I will be a slave to these things. And I don't want to be a slave. I don't want to be a slave. I don't want to be a slave. And I know I can't be in charge because I'm no good at being in charge. But I'll put Jesus in charge. If I go to Jesus for what I want, if I go to Jesus for what I need, if I go to Jesus when I have a bad day, he takes care of it. Now, just throw. Look, here's what he said. Last thing we're going to wrap up right now. He says this. He says, speak this to them in verse 4. Everyone of the house of Israel who sets up an idol in his heart, puts before him what causes him to stumble, puts something between me and the people, God and people, stumble in iniquity, and then comes the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him according to the multitude of his idols. Look, if you come to God and maybe he's been quiet lately, maybe that's because you stopped listening to him about destroying your idols. God wants to deal with you this. Why? So he can seize the house of Israel by their heart because they are estranged. They're far from me by their idols. Therefore, say this to the house of Israel. This is what God says. Repent, turn away, and turn away your faces from all your abominations, the idols. God says, find it, dethrone it, and replace it because there'll never be an empty throne in your life if you want to stop doing something, don't just stop doing it. You have to replace it. Because a throne will never be empty. Look, you could just listen to your American history, social studies, European history class. There will never be no such thing as an empty throne. Somebody will always sit in it. So you can't just stop doing wrong things. You've got to replace them with Jesus. And some of the things in your life, you have to make them your slave instead of letting them make you your slave. Money, you need it. So make money your slave. Make money work for you. Don't work for money. Relationships, don't make relationships what you live for. Make what you live for. Make what you live for Jesus. Drive your relationships. You know what I'm saying? Get everything. Don't get the cart before the horse. Look, wrap this whole thing up. Psalm 103 says, get rid of wicked things in front of you because they'll cling to you. So what's clinging to you? Get rid of it. Ask yourself this question tonight, right now. What do I run to for comfort? What do I run to when there's nothing else to do? What do I run to make me feel good? When you find out what it is, take it, destroy it, fast from it, tell it who's boss, burn it. Don't give it to anybody else. But turn from it. And if you do that, you won't be stuck underneath Prince John. You won't need a Robin Hood, because you'll have a King Richard who will sit on the throne of your life and determine where your future is. Because bottom line is this, your future is determined by who you allow to sit on the throne. Be a slave or a son. If you guys got anything out of God, let's give him praise. We're going to wrap up right now.